Echo at the Attenborough Centre is the story of a young woman seen through her own eyes who has a dream about her future but falls into a world of online sex work. It asks questions about choices when money is tight and also what we teach young girls about their worth. Well, the solo show opened yesterday at the Attenborough Centre. I went to see it, I loved it, and I spoke earlier on the phone to Superhost creator and performer Nicole Leckie. So Superho, it's a solo show following the mixed fortunes of Sasha, who we first meet as a 24-year-old. She's stalling with her mum, her little sister and her stepdad, and she dreams of being a singer. One of the things that really struck me about the show was you feel this immediate rapport with Sasha, even though she's a bit of a snotty brat.
Yeah, it's funny because when I wrote Superho and then we got round to performing it, I felt like, oh, the audience might not like her. Because you're right, she can be a bit snotty. But it's all a facade, isn't it, with Sasha? And I think you can see those little chinks in her armour, where a lot of the time with people who are kind of giving out like a kind of bad attitude, there's often something going on much deeper below the surface. And that's what we sort of journey. That's the journey we go on with Sasha, where we kind of find out what is lying underneath and where is that kind of pain coming from.
There is that journey, because there's that very subtle exploration of how misfortune can befall someone through no fault of their own, and then how one bad decision can lead to another until you get in too deep. I mean, it's very nuanced in the way that she does kind of have her decline.
Yeah, it's one thing I found when I was researching this about just the kind of a rapid decline of like one decision, and then a week later you're in over your head. And lots of the young women I spoke to who are sort of doing, and also doing it through online means, social media escorting, which is slightly different. It was just a kind of decision. You can sign up in minutes and within minutes. And then by the end of the day, you could have your first client. So something that can be quite a quick decision can quickly, I guess, define your life at that moment in time. And I guess I'm kind of exploring whether that decision has to define you and whether you can kind of change towards the end of it, you know, and make new decisions for yourself, no matter what kind of path you've been led down.
Mm-hmm. And it also explores that notion that online popularity and your Instagram image are actually not true reflections of reality. That's a very strong point that comes over.
Yeah, completely. And it's like I've got my own relationship with social media, I guess. And I often do these kind of, right, I'm not going to go on Instagram for a month. I'm not going to go on Twitter or something, because sometimes I feel like you need to kind of look after yourself like how you would a child. And you think, I wouldn't let a child sit on Instagram all day and just having this constant feed of this is what you should be like, this is how your life should be. And that's something I think I really explore with Sasha, in that she's portraying that she's having the best time ever, to the point that she looks at her own page and thinks, oh god, like her life is just amazing, and kind of feels a dissociation between the life she has online and the life she's living daily. And I think that's something a lot of people can really relate to.
Yeah, I did like that line where she looks at the Instagram feed, she goes, I want that life, and then realises, oh, it's her life, and it's not as glossy as it looks. I mean, is it a spoiler to say that ultimately it's a positive message of following your dreams?
No, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that, because I guess that's one thing I feel, that like really it doesn't matter really where you're from or maybe the decisions you've made in life. You know, I guess maybe I'm truly hopeful and kind of, you know, that you can change. And I think that in a way that I didn't want it to feel like, oh, really bubblegum, because she does go through all these harrowing things, but lots of people do in life. Mm. And actually you can come out the other side of it. And you know, we're not set in stone as humans. We can change. So I think that was important for me to have that as a take home, that, yeah, in spite of adversity, you know, and also you don't know what will happen next. You know, I guess we can say the ending of the play is positive, but there's still two versions of what happens next in Sasha's life. Like, does she continue down that route, or does she, you know, follow a completely different route that might be a much sadder path? I don't know. There's still two endings for her, definitely.
We were certainly all rooting for her. It's a very provocative title for a compassionate show. Was there ever any time where you thought, like, maybe this title isn't necessarily going to sell it in a way that I actually wanted to go?
Do you know what? No, I feel like once you see it, you get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like the title just kind of came to me. And then it just really stuck. And it's interesting to me because Superho, it's like that's what how she feels, like people view her, and she has her own complexities in terms of, like, you know, if you are a victim or if you're not, and that's how she sees herself to some degree. So I think it's a necessary title, actually, and it's one that through the journey of it we find that Sasha can or can't shake off, really. I just think I really, really believe so passionately in the story, and it was a world that I kept dipping into when I would see Instagram and I'd see the way certain people talk about certain women, and I just became really fascinated, and I just really wanted to tell a story that wasn't necessarily completely portraying people as victims, but also not, you know, there's a real grey area with it.
Superho seems like a show that would be great for a young audience. All the issues it's got within it, family problems, self-esteem, poverty, attitudes towards young women. Have you played it before to younger audiences?
I mean, the Royal Court were really brilliant in getting younger audiences in as well. So not always just your typical kind of Royal Court audience. So we had younger audiences maybe than was typical for them, but there are currently no plans to sort of say, like, take it to schools or kind of show it. I mean, people were brilliant in that when they would come and see it, they would recommend. They do these rush tickets where, you know, you can call up on the day and get them. And they sold really, really quickly. And that was mostly to a younger audience. And you're right, it does go down brilliantly, actually, because it's something they can identify with and engage with in a different way, I think, to an older audience. But I think you're right. I think more young people should see it, for sure. The audience in Brighton have been so amazing, the two shows we've done so far. It was just so magical. I mean, I kind of got to chat to everybody afterwards, and it was just really, really great, actually, just getting the feedback and stuff.
That was Nicole Leckie, writer and performer of Superho. That is on tonight, Monday and Tuesday at the Attenborough Centre. And I went to see it yesterday. Now, she did two shows yesterday. I went to the evening show and we were queuing up to go in, and some people from the Attenborough Centre came out to say, there's a bit of a delay. She'd injured herself. Because during the show, she sings and she dances as well. And she'd managed to twist her ankle really badly. So it was all a bit kind of like, will she, won't she? Will it happen, won't it happen? Eventually, you know, the show must go on. What a trooper. So Nicole came on stage. She did it as a red performance, sitting down all the way through the show. But I'll tell you what, that audience were really rooting for her. And to me, it absolutely did not spoil the performance one jot. And I was with a friend and we were like, well, would she have done anyway? Just kind of walked around the stage a bit. I mean, the storytelling, the writing and the performance is fantastic. You know, it was started off at the Royal Court and had rave reviews there. Come down to Brighton, it's getting full houses. So it absolutely did not spoil it. And I'd like to wish Nicole all the best for a speedy recovery, but she's going to have to do the rest of her performances sat down, unfortunately.
And I think tonight, I checked earlier, tonight's sold out. So there might be returns, but the Tonight Show, that's Monday's show, was sold out. And tickets possibly still available for tomorrow, 8 p.m. at the Attenborough Centre. But I'd get in there quickly if you're thinking about it.
Yeah, and it's one of those shows as well. I mean, you know, you go to a show and quite often things are very dark, and it has its dark moments. But as I said there in the chat with Nicole, you know, is it a spoiler to say it's got an uplifting and positive ending to it, which it does. So it does leaves you feeling good, and it leaves you feeling positive and optimistic, which is quite unusual for some Brighton Festival shows. Some I come away feeling quite dark from.
The exploration of dystopia amongst many of them doesn't really help with lifting the spirits, potentially.
There is a lot of dystopia, isn't there? Yeah, there is.